In a world where technology intersects with therapy, how do we navigate the ethical landscape? Join us today as we unravel the complexities of integrating AI into mental health therapy. From transparency and informed consent to confidentiality and bias, we explore the ethical considerations essential for therapists and clients alike. Don't miss this enlightening discussion and expand your ethical toolkit on this episode of the Holistic Counseling Podcast. This is Holistic Counseling, the podcast for mental health therapists who want to deepen their knowledge of holistic modalities and build their practice with confidence. I'm your host, Chris McDonald, licensed therapist. I am so glad you're here for the journey. Welcome to today's episode of the Holistic Counseling Podcast. I'm excited to bring you today's topic. This is one that I have loved to learn about, and that's artificial intelligence. I've been using ChatGPT for a long time now, but one that brings up a lot of uncertainty, some anxiety in therapists, and uncertainty in regard to the ethics of it. I know I've enjoyed using it for marketing for my private practice, for blog posts, but where do we draw the line? How do we know if we've crossed the line and could be getting ourselves into trouble with some ethical concerns? Joining us today is Kim Tolson. She's a digital nomad and seasoned therapist who combines her zest for travel with her quest to enhance the therapy landscape through her communities like Bill Like a Boss and the Traveling Therapist Facebook community. Kim's pioneering work also includes Clinical AI Club, where she merges AI with therapeutic practice, shaping a future where technology and mental health care evolve hand in hand. Welcome to the Holistic Counseling Podcast, Kim.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
I thought we would jump right in, if that's okay with you.
It is, yes.
All right. I'm so excited about this topic. So tell me, what interested you, though, in helping therapists to navigate AI in private practice?
Well, so mainly I get obsessed with things. And when I get obsessed with them, I'm always like excited to tell other people about it because I'm like, this is helping me so much. So I want to tell everybody else how to do it. And AI, I really started using it, I'd say consistently about 2.5 years ago. I started with this program called Jasper AI. It used to be Jarvis AI, but it was like helping me write my blog posts and stuff. And then like last year, ChatGPT came out and that just changed everything. So I'm like, this thing is so smart. It like almost can read my mind. You know, I could just kind of give it some ideas and then it just totally enhances what I'm thinking about. So being like an entrepreneur and a creator anyway, I've got like 15 other income streams that I'm already like putting out into the world. I was like, I have to share this with therapists because it's going to help really prevent therapist burnout. You know, if we can figure out ways to do everything we do besides seeing our clients more efficiently, quicker, you know, we're not going to burn out because I think it's the administrative stuff that really just fries us crispy, you know, trying to do treatment plans and catch up with collateral contacts and write progress notes and, you know, all that administrative stuff that's just like not why we became therapists to begin with. So when I started figuring out you could really automate this super quickly and, you know, I was like, I have to tell everyone. I was shouting from the rooftops. And then it's just in my nature to create content around it, you know, like some freebies. And then, you know, I started a podcast about it and I got a course out there and now I have a membership around AI. So it just sort of evolves into this monster of things I'm sharing with people.
That's why I said this is so, it's like so quick because I feel like I just didn't even learn about this till ChatGPT. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then it's like, here you are. You just like jump right in. I love that about you.
Thank you so much.
I love that. Oh, amazing to jump right on that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you're like a trailblazer with this, I feel.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm probably a little bit ahead of the curve with it, but I think therapists are starting to catch up, especially in the Clinical AI Club. People are sharing stuff every day that they're doing. And I'm like, I didn't even think of that. Like, that's so smart.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're learning right along with them.
I am. And, you know, it's also AI every day. Even ChatGPT has a new beta feature coming out every day, almost, it seems like, that I hadn't even thought it could do. Like, they haven't released it yet, but soon it's going to be able to create videos based on the text that you give it. So it's creating Yeah, like training videos, you know, where you can just like type in content real quick that you create in ChatGPT and around a topic, you plug it into the video generator and it's just going to make these training videos for you like super easy. Yeah, in like 2 seconds. Yeah.
Well, let's back up for a moment. I was just wondering if you could share, because a lot of listeners may not be understanding what we're talking about and how we can use. So can you talk about what is like ChatGPT and AI and how can we use it in private practice?
Yeah, so AI stands for artificial intelligence, and there's lots of different forms of it. ChatGPT, in my opinion, is probably the best one out there that I've seen. I've tried a lot of different ones. And basically, it's like a chatbot, but it's sophisticated. It's smart. It can understand what you're asking. So you talk to it like you would a friend or like somebody you're consulting with, and you say, hey, I just want to write a blog post about blah, blah, blah. Can you help me do this? And you just chat with it like you would like in a friendly conversation. And it's so sophisticated and smart that it can just kind of read into what you're thinking, and it can create things for you. And then in private practice, there's so many things you can do with it. You can do marketing material. You can write emails back to people. Somebody sends you an email. I just plug it into ChatGPT because it knows my personality now. And I'll say, hey, I want you to just respond back to this like I would. And then it just spits out an email for you.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yes. Like super, super friendly and professional because it knows my tone of voice now that I've trained it. And, you know, then you have an email in like 2 seconds. So you don't have to even think about what to write, which some people think is kind of scary. But then you also use your own sort of judgment around it and edit it a little bit. But if you train it properly, it already knows you. So it can talk like you, which again is kind of scary, but also super helpful. Email responses, progress notes, we can get into that a little bit. That kind of starts to fall into the ethical gray area. Treatment plan, objectives and goals. You can do super general things like, you know, have a client that's diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. They hate going out in public. They hate first dates, but they really want to meet somebody. Help me come up with a treatment plan that meets medical necessity and can measure progress that my client's making in treatment. So you use a prompt like that, and you're not sharing any clinical information. It's not enough information to identify anybody. And ChatGPT or whatever program you're using can just spit out these incredible treatment plans that are already done for you instead of the days where you had to pull out the Wiley treatment planner or one of those treatment planner books and be like,
I have all my old goals saved.
Exactly. You know, all this stuff we've done to try to come up with good treatment plans over the years, this thing just does it in like 2 seconds. So it's amazing to me. And it's such a time saver. And, you know, I could go on and on. I don't know if you want me to keep listing. Social media marketing. So, you know, years ago, right, nobody would even think about being a therapist on social media, but now it's a way to get clients. It's a great marketing tool. So you can program ChatGPT to make up like 30 days worth of social media content around your particular niche and the type of client you're trying to attract, or, you know, type of person you're trying to attract, depending on what you're doing your social media for. And you just come up with these great prompts and spit it in there, and it'll even like make a chart for you and say, okay, on the first day, you need to do like a thing about anxiety. Second day, you need to do like a funny meme around whatever. And it'll put out a whole social media plan for you very quickly. You could tell it to write the captions for you and everything. And it's like just done for you. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's just so much. I'm trying to think what else we've done in the club. So this past month, we did paperwork. We did a whole month of like, what's all the paperwork that's supposed to be in your client chart? How can I tell ChatGPT to act like a HIPAA-compliant lawyer and write this paperwork for me so I can just have it ready to go for my clients to read through and sign for intake, onboarding, kind of thing, like brand new charts for clients. And, you know, especially for clinicians that are brand new in private practice, being able to just have this ready to go. And of course, the disclaimer always is you want to have a lawyer check this stuff out, but you can really prep. You could have the stuff almost written and then give it to a lawyer and say, hey, how's it look? You know, it's going to save you a lot of time and money doing it that way.
It's incredible that just thinking about starting therapists, and I had to kick it old school with like looking at like, other people's intake forms and what do I want to take and what would be helpful.
Oh my gosh. And then like typing it, you know,
typing looking it, at the yep. Mm-hmm. A way of the past, I suppose.
paper charts, like all of that. Like it's just so much easier now using AI to help with this stuff.
Yeah. So it seems like it could really streamline so much of what we do and make it easy. And I guess it's like, if you haven't heard of some of this, it's for me, it's like, this is just amazing. Like blows my mind. Like how many ways I hadn't even thought of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. Next month, we're going to do creation all the way from an idea for a group therapy program based on your niche to creating the content, creating the structure of the group, marketing the group. We're going to do the whole process just using AI, and you can knock that out in about like 2 hours and have the whole thing created for you already. Worksheets to go along with the group content, you know, anything you can think of, really.
Has this saved you so much time with everything that you're doing?
You have no idea. Before we hit record, I was saying like I literally use this for everything in my life, even grocery shopping.
How do you use it for grocery shopping?
Oh my gosh. Okay. There's all these hacks you can do, but if you have the paid version of ChatGPT, there's a plugin that's an Instacart plugin. So I'm a traveling therapist. I actually live in Airbnbs and I go from Airbnb to Airbnb. But what we like to do is order our Instacart beforehand so it's delivered to the Airbnb when we get there. So we don't have to worry about grocery shopping after a long travel day. But with ChatGPT, you can tell it to make a menu for you, and then you could tell it to take out the ingredients, and then you could tell it how many people you want it to be for. And then if you have the Instacart plugin enabled, you could tell it to send it to Instacart, and it sends the whole list over and just like populates your grocery cart for you. Where I don't know if any of you guys use Instacart, but you know, you have to go in and manually like find the item and add it.
Yeah, it takes some time.
It takes some time, but with the plugin, it just adds it to your cart.
Oh,
so it's already in there.
Wow. Oh, I love, and that, I just think of that when I travel too. It's just like coming home. Like, who wants to get groceries? Wouldn't that be awesome to get that ready to go?
And yeah, yeah. And there's just so many things. Like, you could take a picture of your refrigerator, just a regular picture with your iPhone, and you can upload the picture to ChatGPT, and you could say, "Take a look at my refrigerator and tell me what I can make for dinner based on the ingredients you see here."
Oh my god. Oh, that's, it's like having your own personal assistant, isn't it?
Exactly. It really is. Oh. There's just so many things like that. Yeah.
Because I know you, so you have two podcasts and you have memberships and you have a lot going on. So I guess, does this help you to keep everything organized?
It really, really does. It has cut down on so much time. I mean, we both have podcasts, and just using AI to help me write the show notes, and even I could put a command in and say, "Hey, just anytime I mentioned a link in here, can you just pull that out and tell me what the links were?" So, you know, because I'll be talking about things with people and I'll be like, "Oh, what was that we were going to tell them about?" And you could just give the command basically to pull out the links, and then I tell it to summarize the entire transcript in two paragraphs for my show notes. I tell it to pick out some key points for the social media advertising that we do for each episode. I tell it to create a title that's SEO heavy and is good for clickbait. I use that prompt just to make it, you know, super interesting to make people want to click on the title, you know, because you want people to be interested in listening to your podcast. So that alone has saved me so much time. I used to spend just hours like, "Oh my God, what did we talk about?" It's almost like how I used to spend it on progress notes. Like, "Oh, how do I subjective, objective, you know, the plan, the assessment," like trying to think through that last session, where using AI, you just put a couple of keywords in and just tell it to write a SOAP note, and it just knocks it out for you just like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking of all the hours that could be saved in everyone's life, right? Oh, yeah. Man, that's amazing. I know for podcasting, it's really made a difference. It's really changed my whole approach with everything. And right now I have a virtual assistant who uses AI for me and gets my notes ready for me and everything for an episode. So it's really cool.
Perfect.
It feels like cheating in some way, but it's like, I still go over it and just make it my own. I think that's the beauty. It's like having that baseline that I can use for what I want to use for each episode. And then the questions that'll come up with, and of course I add my own and filter it. But as far as me having to sit there and be like, what do I want to ask this guest today?
What did we talk about?
Or, exactly. Oh my gosh. Yeah. What a difference.
It really is. It's amazing.
But But I guess going into this, the future, I feel like we're going into the future with artificial intelligence. There is, I know, a lot of people who are scared of it, have a lot of concerns, and some therapists don't want to touch it for they're afraid, I guess, you know, especially, which it makes sense. If we have licensure, we don't want to do anything that's going to get ourselves in trouble. So let's move on to ethics of this too. So what are some of the dangers that therapists could face in using AI?
Yeah, so there's some main things that you want to really think about. And the first one is informed consent. That's like key if you're going to be using AI. I just jotted down some things that you want to include, because if you're using it, of course, you have to tell your clients that you're using it to help with their therapy, to enhance their therapy sessions. You want to have some sort of blurb in there about that and talk to your clients about it, you know, explain how am I using it? You know, you can explain the treatment plan goals that we talk about. Sometimes it's hard for me to think of ideas, so I might use an AI chatbot to give me some new innovative ideas specific to your case to help us make a lot of progress, you know, explaining it kind of like that. You really want to discuss the limits of AI. You want to say, look, I'm using it, but of course, I'm still using my clinical judgment with any decisions I'm making about your therapeutic process. So you really want to differentiate that. Like, I'm not just going on what this chatbot tells me to do. You also really want to make sure that you're saying it's HIPAA compliant. You want to explain how you're using it and why it's HIPAA compliant, and you know, ensure that you're not putting any PHI out into the internet for just anybody to be able to use or get access to. You also want to put in there their right to opt out of using AI. So you can say, you know, this isn't for you. If you don't feel comfortable with it, it's totally fine. Let me know and we won't use it at all. So you can then, obviously, as therapists, we need to respect that decision and not use AI for that client. And then, you know, in your informed consent, just make sure you have like a process or a procedure where the client can ask you about AI, where you could talk about AI together and how you're using it and even how they're using it, because these mental health chatbots are popping up every day, you know, with like mood trackers and little AI therapist robots that are trying to give advice and help around these mood trackers. So there's all kinds of stuff coming up. And I'm always telling clinicians, you know, put it in your consent, but also tell your client, I want to know that you're using this. I want us to be able to talk about it so we can like incorporate that into your therapeutic process. So putting all of that in a consent is super important, I feel.
Yeah, no, I can see just being very clear on that so they know, and having the discussions too. If they have fears like, oh, so you're going to put all my information, you know, I'm just thinking about assessments and the forms they fill out. So is that all going to be on there too? I can see clients being like really hesitant about that.
Totally. Yeah. And it depends on the type of AI you're using. Like there's a lot of, and this goes into the second ethical part, the HIPAA compliance and protecting PHI. But now there's a lot of these emerging note writing platforms that actually record your sessions while you're in with the client. So, you know, informing the client that the session's being recorded and also explaining that HIPAA compliant piece, like what that means and this recording and how it's protected. And also as the clinician, making sure that the software that you're using to record is protected. There's a few out there that if you start to read the fine print, it'll say, just make sure you don't enter any PHI. And that's, I'm a suspect when I see stuff like that. It's like, really, is this HIPAA compliant? But why can't I put PHI? So, you know, as clinicians, we have to be on the up and up with that, but also talking to our clients about that. You know, I'm recording you, but it's, you know, in a data encrypted network. And as soon as the session's over, it gets deleted within 24 hours. Nobody has access to it, you know, explaining that type of thing.
I think, yeah, just being cautious with any of those programs out there, if you're not aware of them, to really do your due diligence, I think is so important. This is all new.
Yeah.
We got to be careful. Yeah.
Yeah. And our ethics boards don't even know yet. I'm just waiting for the day that they start, you know, the NASW or wherever starts issuing ethical standards around how we can and cannot use AI with our clients, you know. And I haven't seen anything yet, but I know there are definitely work groups that are coming up with standards right now as we speak. I'm doing a webinar on Friday for the LPCCs in North Carolina with someone, a professor in William & Mary, that is part of one of these AI work groups for LPCs. So that they've already got regulations and sort of guidance around how therapists should be using it. And, you know, it's interesting. It's going to evolve, I'm sure.
Building and managing the practice you want can be challenging. That's why Alma offers administrative tools, time-saving resources, and an easy way to navigate insurance. So whether you're just starting out or have been working independently for years, you can get the support you need to build your private practice. Create a profile in Alma's searchable directory and share what makes you unique, like your specialties and areas of expertise. People who are looking for care can filter by these details so that they're not finding any therapist, they're finding you. Alma will also help you get credentialed with major insurance payers within 45 days and handle all of the paperwork, from eligibility checks to claim submissions. That means you can spend less time on the details and more time delivering great care. Plus, they guarantee payment within 2 weeks of every appointment. You support your clients, Alma supports you. Visit HelloAlma.com to learn more. That's HelloAlma.com.
How does this work as far as fairness and equity with using AI? So is there any differences with that?
You mean like for just like biases and that sort of thing? Mm-hmm. So this is controversial too. You know, there's different nuances in our therapeutic practices that AI might not be aware of. For example, if I'm seeing teenagers, right, and it's recording my session and the client says to me, this is something teenagers do. They say, I'm dead, right? To them, I'm dead. To a teenager, it's like slang for like, that's hilarious. You know, they even like use the skull and crossbones, like emojis, and that means it's really funny to them. But AI could interpret somebody, a teenager saying like, I'm dead in a session, and totally interpret that the wrong way. Start a suicide prevention protocol. I mean, it could go really a different way with it. Some other biases I've read some research around, there's emerging facial recognition AI that basically can watch a client for micro expressions, that can interpret mood changes in their tone of voice. And basically based on that data, it can predict outcomes. It can give treatment protocols and that sort of thing. So they're already using this in some places.
Wow. Oh my God.
Which is incredible. But it can watch, especially in telehealth sessions, it can record the session, but also be recording the nuances of the face. But what the bias is around that is it's a culture that they don't have a lot of expression, right? What if it's a culture where when they're sad, they don't look sad. They keep a smile on their face, you know, or just a person that has a really flat affect in general. There's all kinds of nuances like that where it can interpret things incorrectly because it's not a human, right? And we as therapists, we're like, we just know this client. He's not depressed. That's just how he always is, you know, that kind of thing. So little things like that, different phrases people use. It isn't aware of the biases yet. I mean, I think it's perfecting every day, which is kind of scary in a lot of ways, but it's learning. And I think too, there's ways to train, you know, like this is my type of client that I always work with, teenagers. This is the vernacular they use. These are their slang terms. Like you could train around that way, but still just the basic AI is not going to be able to pick up on that stuff. So that's sort of the other ethical piece of this whole thing.
What about like data security? Because I know my husband's paranoid because I'll put things in there as I was creating my workbook for therapists. And he's like, be careful what you put in there because then they can take the rights of it. And I'm all paranoid when I was doing that. So is there concerns with data security? Like, I don't know, whoever's in charge of ChatGPT, they could take your stuff and have the rights to it.
I mean, they could. They've got disclaimers right now just saying it's basically open source, meaning just, you know, anything you put in there could be used in other places. It's used to train the model. So if you're like an expert on anxiety disorders and you put a workbook in there, it may extrapolate some of that information. And then if somebody down the road is asking for, you know, I want to make a workbook around anxiety disorders and
they
could take it without it being copyrighted. I mean, they wouldn't even know where it came from because it's just like out there in the ethosphere, whatever you want to call it, just for collecting, you know, it's just collecting and adding to the collective knowledge of the AI. But there's things like Jasper AI, Copy AI that definitely protects your data if you want to pay for it. So there's different ways to do that. And I think if there's a concern about it, you could definitely use one of those instead. They're pretty good.
How do you know how much to put in? Because I know you mentioned like that case with anxiety, if you were just trying, do you just have to not put like the age in? I'm just wondering as far as, can you get too detailed with that, which could give away the who the client is?
Absolutely. So there, if you Google like PHI, like what's considered PHI, a list of like 20 things will come up. You don't want to do any of that. So age, location, name, obviously. If you could read it and if somebody else could read what you're writing and figure out who that person is, you don't want to put it in there. My process with it is I just do like concurrent note-taking when I'm in sessions, which is a time saver for me too, but I'll just type like keywords, like medication changed to 10 milligrams of Lexapro or something, fight with husband, anxiety escalated. You know, I would put some things like that and then put it into ChatGPT and tell it to write a soap note. And this is another ethical thing about AI. If you're doing something like that, you want to read what it writes back, because some people might just copy and paste it and stick it in the note and go into the next client. But the thing that AI does do is it'll like make up stories. So if it thinks it needs more information or it just thinks there should be other details, sometimes it'll just add details that are bizarre. Like, and then she divorced her husband. You know, it'll say weird things like that. Sometimes you have to go back and read the output that you're getting before you copy and paste it into your progress notes or your EHR or wherever you keep your documentation, because it will do that.
Okay, that's good to know. So really being cautious with that. So I think the key is we don't always want to just take what it says to kind of look at it too and do a little bit of editing.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, if it concerns you in the least bit or you think you're not sure what PHI is, just use one of these other HIPAA compliant. Mentalic is one that, you know, I've been partnering with lately. They're really good. They've got completely HIPAA compliant secure platform. It records your sessions. You push a button, it turns it into a soap note without you even having to type a thing. Super easy. And then you could turn it into a treatment plan from there. There's tons of stuff just using these platforms that are HIPAA compliant for sure, totally secure. So nobody's going to see the information. You could put as much PHI as you want in there.
Gotcha. Okay. So it depends on where you're using it, which kind of platform. And I know some of the information is wrong, because I've gone in there. So you do have to be careful, like for creating content. I've had some things that were incorrect and I was like, oh, if I would have just used that, but I knew enough about the topic, thank God, that I was like, I didn't put that. So just be aware. It does say that up front. I talk about ChatGPT that it does say that there may be inaccurate information. So
yeah,
it's not 100% perfect.
Yeah, there was a famous case where a lawyer was using it and it cited some cases. Like, it will do this. It literally cited cases that like supported his argument, and the lawyer didn't fact check it. And they were fake cases. They weren't even real. And ChatGPT had made them up. So, you know, it's brilliant in a lot of ways. But then stuff like that is like, oh my gosh, like you said, you have to, good thing you knew about the topic, because you just never know what they're going to actually, it's going to add in there. It's bizarre sometimes. I'm like, where did you get that from?
Exactly. Yeah. Especially on topics that you're not as familiar with. I think that's the danger. If somebody else may not have caught that, but I was like, that is not correct. So just knowing that. So do you have any other words of wisdom for therapists who might want to start using it but haven't yet?
I think, you know, if it scares you, just start out light. You know, start out with, this is one month in the AI club we did this, it just homework assignments for clients. You could totally say, you know, I want to create a homework assignment that helps me meet medical necessity for somebody with a, you know, generalized anxiety disorder that is afraid to date or something, and say, can you create a homework worksheet that I can give my client that will help them make progress with this problem? So something super general like that, it'll just spit something amazing out for you really quickly. And then you can see that, you know, you didn't put any PHI in, but it's super helpful. And it's giving you ideas that you might not have thought of or even have the time, because I don't know about the rest of you guys, but if you've got a full day of clients, it's like, that would be really cool to make a worksheet for them, but I have no time for it. So exactly. I'm probably never going to do that. But with this, you could just knock it out and securely email it to your client through your EHR portal or whatever, have them download it and complete the worksheet. And it's super easy. Yeah.
So do you have ideas? I know you mentioned a lot of ways to frame the commands that you give it. Is there a way that we can learn that to be more effective?
Yes, definitely. I have a free guide. I think I gave it to you guys for show notes, but it's getting started with AI for therapist prompts, basically. So it talks about the structure that you want to use around it, because the more specific you are, the better outcomes you're going to get. So it really starts with sort of training it around what type of clinician you are, what type of work you do with your clients. So like, you know, I specialize in anxiety disorders, but I'm also specialized in EMDR. So it has a perspective of the type of therapist you are even to begin with. So it would make a worksheet around that perspective way different than maybe it would for, you know, a therapist that does CBT and depression, you know. So training it up front is super important, and really just talking to it like it's your friend and you're trying to like do an elevator pitch basically and tell it all about yourself, you know. And then you can from there just say, remember me. I want you to make every all the content we do, I want it to be around this frame of who I am as a therapist. And then it learns you. It starts to learn your personality, all that stuff. You can even feed it writing samples of yourself that you've written or videos that you've done. You can feed it to him. I call it a him. You can feed it to him and it'll learn you that way. So once you do that, then the prompts are going to be a lot more accurate. So starting out with the training is super important.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And I'm wondering too, if that's probably good for therapists to get some kind of training in this in general, just to have that background so that you can hopefully avoid some of those potholes that could get you into trouble.
And the frustration. That.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the frustration too in learning this, right?
Yeah, because people tell me all the time, Kim, I try to write a progress note and it's terrible. It's not listening to me. It's coming up with these really weird things. It's like, let's go back and look at the prompt and how you trained it. And then once we do that, it's going to be a lot more accurate. So,
okay. Tell the listeners about your AI club, what that is.
Okay. Yeah. So the Clinical AI Club, I created it again, just from my love of AI and all this cool stuff I was doing. I wanted to share it with other therapists. So it's super low price point. It's $9 a month. And it's every month we have a 90-minute implementation session where we all kind of come together live and we just talk about everything we're doing in our private practices and how we're using AI. And people will say, you know, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. Can you help me figure out how to do it? So we do a lot of that sort of live teaching then. And then every month there's a topic and I always give 20 curated prompts around that topic. And I give a training tutorial, or sometimes I'll even do a special live training with the group around that topic and we'll create things together. So that's basically the content of it. And then, as I said, I'm super obsessed with it. So I'm constantly putting stuff in the AI club that I'm doing just aside from like private practice things, like how I'm creating. I figured out a super fast way to create PowerPoints in Canva using ChatGPT, and it makes it for you really quickly, where it used to take us like 5 hours to make a really cool PowerPoint presentation. You could do it in like 2 minutes now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I trained the club. We had a live co-working group on that where I walked everybody through how to do that. So we just do stuff like that in there. And it's just really fun and innovative. And we talk about HIPAA and trying to make sure we're protecting everybody's privacy and all of that. So that's basically it. It's the Clinical AI Club at www.clinicalaiclub.com.
Is there another way you want listeners to reach you if they want to learn more about you?
Yeah, you can email me if you want to, info@kimtolson.com, and it's kymtolson.com. Or you can go to my main website, which is thetravelingtherapist.com.
Okay, we'll have those in the show notes as well. But thank you so much for coming on the podcast today,
Kim. Thank you for asking.
This was great. And I feel like this is just a mind-blowing topic. That's like we're going to keep learning more and more of how it can help us. So I'm excited for the future with that. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. And I have a question for you. Are you struggling with feelings of burnout and emotional exhaustion in your counseling practice? Do you always put others first? To boost your energy, build your stress resilience, I have created the Self-Care for the Counselor Companion Workbook Guide. Power up your self-care today and overall wellness with this workbook. And this guide provides simple strategies that are not only practical, but easy to integrate into your life. Go to hcpodcast.org/workbook. That's hcpodcast.org/workbook. And once again, this is Chris McDonald sending each one of you much light and love. Till next time, take care. Thanks for listening. The information in this podcast is for general educational purposes only, and it is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guests are giving legal, financial, counseling, or any other kind of professional advice. If you need a professional, please find the right one for you.
The Holistic Counseling Podcast is proudly part of the Sitecraft Network.